Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Is that your noise to start it?
It might be.
Well, I don't like it, Andrew. I can't say whether... Is that it? Well, I'm fed up with that noise already, Andrew. I've heard it twice.
I just want to get in the zone.
What I wanted to do this week is tease you towards the sounds of the supermarket. We all like a shop, don't we?
We do.
So maybe the sounds of the chickens, you know, and the ham hocks sizzling
the sound
away.
Of a chicken.
And the ham hock, you know, when they're sizzling away on the rotisserie. That's nice, isn't it?
You never get to hear them. They're inside one of them, encased in one of them big ovens.
All right, Andrew, the sound.
What are you on about?
The sound of the bottles of. The clinking of bottles of syrup of figs as they're restocked after an outbreak of constipation at the local model railway. What about that? It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Clink, clink, clink.
Yeah, you're not very good on the clinks. All right, here's one. I know you'll be able to do this one because you're northern. The stunning sound of a pensioner. Yeah. Letting out a little droopy Dave squeaker as she reaches up for the car's water biscuits.
All right, I'll have a go at that one.
Yeah, there you go. That's nice. So we've had a nice start to the podcast.
Very good. I see you wearing your little Frank Spencer beret there, Bob. That's nice.
I'm not wearing it. I brought it with me. I've just took it off.
That's lovely.
Out of deference to your arrival. Did
you
like
very
it?
Much. I did, yeah. What we're going to do first? Do you want some names?
No, I'll tell you what I'm going to fucking do.
Go on.
I'm going to sing a supermarket song.
All right, we're still in a supermarket, so we go on then.
Do you mind?
I don't mind in the slightest.
Tesco. Asda. Waitrose. Aldi. Yep, you ready?
Well, stop.
I park in the parent and toddler or disabled if it's free. I ignore the fruit and veg and head straight for the packaged meat. I fill my trolley with bacon and party sausage treats. Next stop is the snacks and the reduced to 50p. When I go out shopping, I never have a plan. I stride along the aisles like there's a disco in me pants. Yeah, Tesco. Asda. Waitrose. I-S-C-O. That's it, Andrew.
Fucking hell.
You like that?
It's nice.
Do you ever plan before you go to a supermarket?
Nah, I just go in every day and just buy whatever I need.
I go about four or five times a week.
Four or five times
six
a day.
O'clock.
Right.
But, you know, I've never been a... Actually, I do plan in so far as that I'll have... My motivation for going will probably be, I need some beer.
Yeah.
Or I need some cheese or whatever.
Yeah.
So whilst I'm there, I do my shopping.
Yeah.
So I'll go as far as I need cheese, beer, and then I say peanuts.
Uh-huh. You sound like me.
Do you like a peanut?
I love a peanut, a dry roasted peanut. Not just one.
No,
hundreds and hundreds of them.
That traditional peanut for me, the salt, greasy salted.
You don't go for the dry roasted?
No.
Do you not enjoy the dust in the bottom of the bag?
I hate them.
You can snort it up your nose.
I've got a dry roasted nut hammer that I use to deflect them, you know, when they're in my life. What are we going to do today, Andrew?
Have you got some names for me to choose from?
Yeah, of course I have, if you want.
I've got some for you today as well.
Okay, well, I'll offer you mine first.
Please, of course,
Andrew, you can be Ronnie Hot Dogs, you know, absolutely.
Well, you know, one day I might be.
Absolutely you can. What about this chap, though? Ray Peterborough. He's cheerful, yeah. Right, plasterer, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, got a real good set of solid mates.
Yeah.
Meet down the pub four or five times a week, single at the moment.
Right.
The only little quirk is he keeps a pelican in his loft in a very, very restrictive cage.
Oh.
So, I don't know.
I don't like the sound of him.
All right, so...
It sounds like he's got a sight on.
Mick Moth.
Mick Moth,
yeah.
Yep.
He's a glam goth sort of guitar player,
right,
but in his late 40s. He's never actually been in a band. He just plays Guitar Hero, really.
Right.
Is the truth of it. He's one of those blokes, do you know these ones, who get fun from having someone bash at his balls with a hammer.
Right.
Do you know?
I do know that, yeah.
Does that feel anything?
It resonates more than the Pelican fella.
So, what's it going to be? A weird lady.
Oh, God. I don't know. Can I come back to you on it?
All right.
Or do I need to decide now?
You decide right at the end. We'll use that as the full stop.
Well, I've got a couple for you. Right, here's one.
Stevie Cream.
He's got a van, and he's done it out so it looks like a red telephone box, but it's on its side, and it sells all the creams. And he sells, it's like street creams.
Right.
He's got single, double, clotted, squirty, and skin. All the creams. He's 48, and this is definitely his last chance.
Yeah, well, I think he's got a chance.
Yep.
I think he's going to, it's like a lure the telephone box, isn't it?
No, exactly, it'll lure them in, won't it?
I'm going to reject you, Mandy, I think, because when you said creams, I immediately thought of your Vaselines, your ointments.
Well, he's got them as well. I said skin. He's got all of them.
All right, well.
All the creams.
Is that my only choice?
In the dictionary. No, you're the one's the key cut fucker.
Right.
He goes into key cutting shops. He challenges them to cut a key that he's got with him because he reckons it's impossible.
Right.
And then when they cut it for him, he pulls out another one the same out of his pocket and he goes, "Hey, man, I've already got one leg." And he runs out without paying. He's a fucker.
He sounds like a biter. No, I'm not interested in him.
Neither are them. You're just going to
no,
be
no, I'll take Cream or Stevie
you're
Cream.
You're only the Cream one, do you?
I'll be Stevie Cream, thank you. Oh, well done.
What are you doing? Are you took a selfie there? Or did,
no, I never.
Have you took a picture of my tits?
No, I never took a picture of your tits.
I heard your camera go off.
Yeah, well, I took a picture of you, but just because it's focused on your tits doesn't mean I was taking a picture of your tits.
Fuck.
Hey, listen up. Wife's questions have arrived. Andrew, she says hello.
Hello, Bob's wife.
Andrew, is there a library in Sunderland?
God.
And if so, does it do books or just like housing benefit advice and free Johnnies?
Yes, there is a library in Sunderland.
Yeah.
I used to actually work in the library in Sunderland about 11 years ago, Bob's wife.
So
it was my occupation.
You've never worked.
I worked in the library.
What did you do in the library?
Push books around on a cart all day long.
Put those books in the cart, and push them around.
And I used to hide near the phone directories.
So was it one of these skiving jobs? Nothing to do, really?
Yeah, proper skiving job, yeah.
Andrew, you're a very heavy, sluggish man, she
says. Yes, I am.
Does this mean you have difficulty getting your foot into the sink when you're having a Sunderland bath?
I don't have a bath in a sink.
Right.
I've got a bath.
All right.
Granted, it's outdoors in the yard, but I do get in it fully.
Well, good for you, Andrew.
In your trunks.
If you don't mind me saying, your skin's looking lovely today.
Thank you very much.
Are there any schools...
Should I put my top back on now?
Are there any schools in Sunderland, or do the kids just fanny about down the daft farm? I mean, they're not easy to answer, are they, Andy? I accept that.
Yes, there are schools.
Okay, thank you.
There are five schools.
Finally.
One in each corner and one in the middle.
But most of the kids go to the middle because it's easiest to find, yeah? Andrew, final question. With your weight and general idleness, do you have trouble climbing the steps next to the sink when you have a Sunderland shit?
How many questions has you done?
Four questions. There's no rules. I never heard no rules.
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, nice one. Well,
I just also add that I didn't actually listen to that one properly because I was just so fucking irritated by it.
All right, I'll ask you another question then.
Oh, God.
Given your heft, right, do you have trouble getting your foot up onto the sink when you're having a Sunderland piss?
Hey, no, I do it in my bath.
You do it in your bath?
Yes.
God, like, it makes the bath a bit warmer, doesn't it?
God. I've got some questions for you, but I'm going to save them for later on. Before I do that, I'm going to do yes or no behind the door.
All right.
Right. I want you to imagine there's a door over there.
Yeah.
Not the door we came in through.
I know.
Next to it, another
door,
one.
Yeah.
A special door.
Yeah.
Behind that door is three things, and yes or no, would you go through and look at them? First one, a life-size model of Paul Hollywood. It's made out of hardened earwax, and it's got lasers for eyes.
No, not interested.
You wouldn't go and look at that?
I'm so sorry, Andrew. You put a lot of thought into that.
It's purely imaginary.
Paul Hollywood once showed me a sports car.
I bet he did.
He says, have a look. Do you want to come over and look at my sports car? And, you know, you don't want to send... Oh,
he's got one of them. It's got a crystal, hasn't it, for a starter key?
Has it? I think so, yeah. It's Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Second
one. Four monkeys fighting over a bust hairdryer.
Yeah, I'd like to say that.
You'd say that, would you?
Right, there,
okay.
Yeah.
Third one, Hitler's ghost shitting into a bucket.
No, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you know what, Andy? I've enjoyed imagining that, so don't get me wrong, but I don't want to actually experience it.
Is it because it's a ghost? They frighten the ghosts?
A little bit, yeah.
Thought you would be.
He'd probably throw it at you.
Thought you would be.
Dirty protest.
That's Hitler for you.
I went to see the Earp movie.
Oh, was it good?
Yeah, it was okay, yeah. I was better than Dunkirk.
Right.
Dunkirk's a load of twaddle. It's just like I think probably, if I counted, there's probably 70 incidents... Mm-hmm. One after the other,
uh-huh.
And then the final incident means it's the credits.
Is this Dunkirk you're talking about?
Dunkirk, yeah.
I was in the Science Museum last week in London because I was down here for the weekend.
Yeah.
I took my boy to the Science Museum and Connor, and we saw Will Gompertz off of the BBC News, the arts correspondent, running around in a tiz trying to find the entrance to the big cinema that had Dunkirk on.
Is he the one with the unusual hairstyle?
Aye.
Oh, the glasses. I know him.
Aye. Yeah, he was sort of in a tiz like you'd expect.
Yeah, no, you would expect.
It's good, nice bit of show business for
us. You're going to go and see Dunkirk?
No.
I've seen three films recently.
Dunkirk, the
Spider-Man and the Ape.
What's
film,
the Spider-Man one like?
It's probably the best of the three, to be honest.
Have you seen Despicable Me 3 yet?
No, I
that's
haven't.
Good. Okay. Solid. Well, Cars 3 is not that good.
Well, thank you for those two recommendations.
And that's the end of film review.
Mark Lawrenson, are you interested?
Very much so.
Okay. Well, you'll have to... Now, you've got to do the lines for this for me to do Mark.
You just say them and I'll just say them as Mark.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, Mark's at home with Barbara, so that's nice, isn't it?
Good start.
As a couple. He's in the shed using his lathe to make a new collar for the broom handle. You know where it joins the broom head, Andy?
Yeah.
It's always a weakness in a broom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very frustrating. Then after he's going to give the patio a power clean with his kercher.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Have I got to say anything yet about
no,
this?
I'll tell you. Barbara comes into the shed with the phone. Barbara says, it's for you, Mark. Mark says, who is it? Mark says, who is it? Mark says, who is it? It's Morrissey. Laura says, can you not tell him I'm out buying new wire for the rabbit hutch?
Can you not tell him I'm out buying new wire for the rabbit hutch?
I've told him here, don't be so rude. So he answers the phone, Laura. Hello, Laura here.
Hello, Laura here. What?
Is that his phone voice?
Yeah. 2225, Laura here.
Okay, and so it's Morrissey, right? He says, oh, I'm Mark. Sorry to bother you, but I've had a great idea that I think would be right up your street. Mark says, oh, yeah, what is it?
Oh, yeah, what is it?
I want to open an ironmonger's, you know, a hardware store. Well, Mark hesitates, his eyes flick around his shed. He sees Barbara just staring at him through the kitchen window, the weeds growing through the concrete on the side path, and he replies, yes, so do I. It's always been a dream of mine.
Yes, so do I. It's always been a dream of mine.
Great, let's do it then. I've got a bit Harry Kane now, haven't I? Great, let's do it then.
That's better.
I've already secured premises in Stockport. You ordered the stock and let's open in, let's say, 1st of July. Laura says, it's a deal. Oh, Stephen, what shall we call it?
It's a deal. Oh, Stephen, what shall we call it?
Lovities. He says, I like it. I'll see you on the 1st of July.
I like it. I'll see you on the 1st of July.
So, says Babs, what did Morrissey want? Nothing, love, just asking about match tickets.
Nothing, love, just asking about match tickets.
Well, for the next 2 weeks, Mark spends every working hour ordering stock, you know, brackets, paints, tools, wadding, buckets, bird feeders, bulbs, weed all.
The lot.
The lot, those machines that shag you, all the shit you need, you know. So it's the night before the big opening. Mark is sat on the sofa with Barbara watching Catfish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you watch Catfish?
I do watch Catfish. Because I don't want to get caught out.
Ah, you're learning the tricks of the trade.
Yep.
So, do you like to guess what they're going to be at the end?
Yeah.
Is that what we all do?
Yeah, of course.
And what's your usual guess?
Big fat lesbian.
Anyway, so they're watching Catfish and the phone rings. It's Morrissey. Mod says, how's it going? Mark says, fine, I can't wait for tomorrow.
Fine, I can't wait for tomorrow, Stephen.
Same here. Mark says, I'm doing a special offer on Belinda wipes.
I'm doing a special offer on Belinda wipes.
Excellent. Everyone needs Belinda wipes. Then there's silence, like an awkward silence. And Moz says, so I was wondering, it would be nice to have a special guest cut ribbon. Mark says, bit short notice. Have you anyone in mind?
Bit short notice. Have you got anyone in mind?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe Rafa Benitez. Mark says, oh, well, I'll try. There's no harm in asking, is there?
Oh, well, I'll try. There's no harm in asking, is there?
So Mark phones up Rafa. It turns out he's a big fan of the album Your Arsenal, Morrissey.
And
so
I was listening to that 2 days ago.
There you go. Well, yep. Probably Rafa
it's good, apart from the racism.
Is it the one that starts off with the drums, Your Arsenal? Because we used the drums from, I think it was the first track. We used them for Bang Bang, It's Reeves and Mortimer. Anyway, so he agrees to do the opening if Morrissey will sign his CD of Your Arsenal, right? Right. Big day arrives. Mark says, I've got a big surprise for you today, Barbara.
I've got a big surprise for you today, Barbara.
Oh, what is it? Are we getting some new straw for the rabbit? Mark says, no, that's not it.
No, that's not it, Barbara.
Oh, we're having a day out at home base. No, I've gone into business with Morrissey from the Smiths.
No, I've gone into business with Morrissey from the Smiths.
And we're opening a hardware store in Stockport today.
And we're opening a hardware store in Stockport today.
Yeah, I thought that might happen one day. What's it called? You can't use Morrison's. Lorrissey's, it's brilliant, isn't it? It's a combination of our names.
Lorrissey's, it's brilliant, isn't it? It's a combination of our names.
Come on then, I suppose I'd better go and see it. So they go to Stockport, there it is. Corner plot, dual aspect window display, Andy, so that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Simple signage that says a pretty serious business, but don't worry, not too pricey. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Little crowd wait, a few journalists. One of the journalists is called Harry Caramel, so that's a nice name for a journalist,
isn't
it?
Yeah. And stands out, yeah.
First arrives Rafa. Hello, Mark. Is Muzwa here yet? I'm so excited. Mark, oh, here he comes now, Rafa. Perfect timing.
Oh, here he comes now.
Rafa.
Perfect timing.
And sure enough, pulling up in an American open-top Cadillac with fins and that, and wearing shades and a cowboy hat, it's Morrissey. Ooh. Cameras start flashing. Out he jumps and he rushes straight at Rafa. Oh, hello, Rafa. I can't believe it. Like, Rafa Benitez, the plumbest, most goodly bloke on Tyson. I love you, Rafa Benitez, more than I love Big Folk and Monster Cap. It's Robson Gray. Rafa and Mark have been catfished.
Oh, man.
See? Get this clown off me, says Rafa. Rafa's security guards punch him on each tit.
Yeah.
Now bundle Rafa back into his car. And Mark goes over to Robson. What were you thinking, pretending to be Morrissey?
What were you thinking, pretending to be Morrissey?
That's the only way I thought I'd ever get to meet Rafa Benitez. And it worked. I actually held Rafa Benitez in my arms. Rafa Benitez. It was like holding pure happiness in the shape of a fat Spanish bloke. I'm over the fucking moon. Well, Mark can't help but smile seeing his mate so happy. So Mark says, he's a charming man, isn't he?
He's a charming man, isn't he?
And they both laugh. Then Babs says, that joke isn't funny anymore. Mark says, fuck off, Barbara. I'm just trying to lighten the load here.
Fuck off, Barbara. I'm just trying to lighten the load here.
Then he says, oh, hold on, I get it.
Oh, hold on, I get it.
And they all laugh, Andy. All three of them laugh so much that glass eyes start dropping out of their arseholes. So,
that's lovely.
I mean, cheeky of him, wasn't it?
It was. Is that as far as we get with Lawrenson and Robson Green? Or do you think Robson's going to try and go one step further? Second base with Rafa in the future.
Did you think it was a bit like that movie, Don't Breathe?
I've never heard of that movie.
It's where the kids invade house with that blind army veteran.
Well, you've made that up, haven't you?
No, you know, I just thought it was a bit like it, you know, with Mark living in a house. Right. But anyway, whatever.
Yeah, there was some similarities, I suppose.
Whatever. South Africa. Do you want to do something, Andy, just at this point?
I've got an out left.
So, well, if I do, should I do South Africa then? I will do, I think. I was in the hotel bar when I was over there watching football, right?
Right.
Just me in there and a little bloke behind the bar called Sammy. Little Sammy, lovely fella. Lots of hunting stuff on the walls, Zulu spears, shields and that whips, that sort of shit, you know. And I was watching Man United v Liverpool. He asked me who I supported. Sammy did. I said, I support Middlesbrough. He laughed, right? Mm-hmm. So I farted and he laughed again. So I farted. And we did this for a while.
You're a people pleaser, aren't you, Bob?
Daft fun.
Yeah.
It's daft fun and no harm with it. Suddenly, I hear the TV turn over to some obscure tennis tournament. It's a big, bearded, massive Dutch Afrikaans bloke, yeah?
Right.
I said, oh, excuse me, mate. I was watching the football. I don't care if you're playing in it, mate. I'm watching Federer. His arse is like a god to me. Well, I go to speak again, but little Sammy gives me a look as if to say, just leave it, Bob, leave it.
Yeah.
Then the man turns to me. If you want to watch your lady ball, there's another TV in the conference room. So Sammy nods, points to the conference room. I take my paint through and I go in there.
Yeah.
So I'm stood in front of the TV with the remote. I'm just trying, you know, we have to try and get the right input to get it.
Yeah.
When the big bloke strides in, take your trousers off and start feeding that remote control in Uranus, boy. Well, he's a massive bloke and there's no one around, so I think, shit, I started taking my trousers off. Suddenly, Sammy comes in. He's got a spear and a shield and he's got the point of the spear right against the bloke's neck.
Yeah.
He says, there'll be no remotes fed into anuses on my shift, mate. Now get back in the fucking bar, rice and sugar. I probably should have done that South African, shouldn't I?
Is Sammy South African, is he?
Yeah. There'll be no remotes fed into anuses on my shift. Now get back in the fucking bar, Rice and Sugar. So Rice and Sugar leaves and Sammy watches him all the way. I say, thanks, Sammy. Why did he want to feed the remote into my arse? Mm. Sammy says, just for the kudos. He wanted to kick you up the arse to change channels. Fucking gangbangers, you gotta love them.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can we go over and visit the secret soccer superstar?
Yeah,
I haven't heard from him for a while.
Can I have a guess?
You have a guess at the end, just based on what he says, because there's a couple of clues.
Okay.
What a lot of people don't know is that a lot of the top players get to try out luxury products for free long before the general public get to have them. Companies send us free stuff and get us to fill in questionnaires about whether we like them or not, or they ask us how they could improve them. Back when I was playing, we used to get all sorts of stuff. One time I got a quiz book about films that was written by Michael Rodd with his autograph on the front cover. Frustration-free packaging? Ho ho, the top players got to try that out first. And broadband. A very memorable free gift was a luxury jigsaw puzzle. All the pieces were made from actual fucking velvet. Amazing! We'll all give that one 10 out of 10 on the questionnaire. But I remember one time, just before a UEFA Cup semi-final second leg match, each of the lads got a free cassette with the new Jazzy B album on it. That was in April, and the album wasn't even due out till October. We went out on away goals, but we were all grooving in the changing room afterwards. So next time you get a modern luxury product, chances are that your football heroes have tried it first. So think on, eh?
That's insight.
A lovely insight there. Insight.
I think he's a Newcastle player. I don't know why they're dancing in the... It's not Terry Ibbett, is it?
No, it's not Terry Ibbett.
Right. Okay, I was thinking the other day, I just passed through my mind. When I was young, Andy, it was on the Lakes Estate in Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
I used to go there. It was a Lakes Estate, so it was like, I don't know, Windermere Road and Derwent Street.
Oh, I see. Right.
And there was a fruiterer used to park his wagon up of an evening, and it was fully stocked. Yeah.
A legitimate one? Yeah, or was he like a...
No, proper fruiterer. And it was, you could lift up the sacking and get in there. Right. And we used to play games like drop fruit or something, fruit drop or whatever, where I think it was four of us, me, Cags, Fat Harry, probably Stava or whatever, and we used to start with the littlest thing we could get our hands on, a cherry,
like something like something. That. Yeah.
Throw it as high up in the air and you had to let it land on your head.
Right.
Yeah, and then you go to the next thing, maybe an apricot, mm-hmm. yeah, throw it, land on your head. Then you start getting serious satsumas, oranges.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get up to the grapefruit. Right.
Yep.
And you, that shit that used to give you a thud on your head,
and you actually let it land on your head.
Yeah, yeah. But the only reason it passed me mind because I was thinking about the past, you know, like you do when you're old.
Sorry.
You know, like you do when you're old, and I thought when we first did Shooting Stars.
Yeah.
We used to do two punishments. One was we used to vibrate a celebrity.
Yeah.
Well, the second one is we used to drop increasingly sized fruits on the head.
Right.
So I'm not really saying anything here.
Yeah.
But it's taken me all these years till you get old and start thinking to realise that game on Shooting Stars probably has its roots back when I was 14.
I understand.
You know?
What you're trying to say is that you've never really developed since the age of 14.
That's
And you've managed to become a millionaire on the back of it.
I'm not a millionaire, Andy. I wish you'd stop saying that.
Speaking of which, here's the questions from my blood relatives, my young boys, young Connor and Mitchell. Dear Uncle Bob, I should say they've had a week off school as well this week, so they're a bit
more
time.
Why they call me Uncle Bob out?
Because of that weekend you had away in the Audi. Mm. They call you Uncle Bob since then, for some reason. Dear Uncle Bob, are you looking forward to harvest season? What is your best crop going to be this year? Will it be your beetroot, your wheat, or your turnips?
It's going to be my beetroot, Andrew.
Good beetroot
crop
this year.
It's going to be my beetroot. I'm trying the ones that are called gold. I can't remember the name of the thing. I'm trying the ones that are the yellow ones, basically.
All right, yeah.
See how I get on with them.
First time?
First time for the yellows, yeah.
Yeah.
First time for
but
the
But feeling confident.
I'm never confident when it comes to veg. I'm never confident.
You can never tell, can you? It's all down to the weather, isn't it?
I'm never confident. I've got them in my hand and I'm taking a bite out of them.
It's all down to the weather, the conditions of the earth.
Yeah,
you know, so many factors.
Water.
Fair enough. Second one, which of your crops do you think will be most affected by Brexit?
Going forward. Well, I think that the one that's going to be most affected is probably the strawberry. Or the raspberry.
Right.
Because I think that a lot of them are sent abroad and probably won't be.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to say, you know what? I'm not going to bother growing strawberries this year, love, or raspberries, because, honestly, down at Lidl, they're literally 10p a punt.
There's nothing in it for you, is there? Nothing in it for you at all.
I'll grow a different
crop. False economy in it. Yeah. Do you export a lot of strawberries and raspberries at the minute?
No, the country does, though. The country does.
Right, I meant you specifically, though.
No, I've never exported a fruit.
Third question. What do you say to the families of your servants who have perished in your fields when they travel thousands of miles to the UK looking for answers and hopefully closure?
I don't have any servants. I've never slaughtered
who
any
picks
of
the
servants.
Fruit? Who picks and the beetroot?
I pick it
who,
myself.
Who tends to the crops?
Hey,
you don't do it all yourself.
I do, honestly. I've got a hoe.
Bollocks.
Got you say hoe.
Hoe.
Hoe. I was doing Celebrity Pointless this week, Andrew.
Were you?
Yeah, at Elstree Studio.
Mm-hmm.
In the dressing room, it was a big long corridor, dressing rooms, and in the dressing room next to me was Robert Peston. Do you know that?
I do know Robert Peston.
He does the news and that.
He's like a slightly more palatable Will Gompertz.
Is it? Well, he's like economics, isn't he?
The
economy.
Quirky news fella.
And my door was open.
I once saw Peston getting off the train at King's Cross on the train that had come from Edinburgh.
Not a bad spot.
During the festival month, so I think he'd been to Edinburgh for the weekend.
I know.
Fucking wrecked.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've heard that he's a bit of a tricky one.
All right, let's say no more.
I won't
say. The lawyers are watching.
Okay.
Wink, wink.
All right, got you. So he's in the room next to me.
Yep.
And I've got my door open, he's got a door open. A runner came along and asked him if he wanted anything.
Sorry.
So Peston says, yes, I would like a very strong cup of Ribena and a bag of chicken crisps, right? Because that's how he speaks.
He makes very little go a long way, doesn't he?
Doesn't he just, yeah.
A bit like John Bishop.
So, just then, Dara O'Brien walks past.
Yep.
Right? He said, Dara walks by, goes, hello, Robert. Nah, lovely to see you. Nah, who are you on with? To Peston, he says, you know. Peston says, hello, sorry, who are you? Dara O'Brien says, nah, I'm a comedian. No, I'm a comedian. Nah. Peston says, sorry, I should warn you, I'm a very rude person. I'm on with Piers Morgan. Sounds as good fit. I'm on with Colin Murray. Never heard of him. What's he like? He's a presenter. He seems to think he's pretty good. Then Piers Morgan, who's on the opposite side of the corridor, opens his dressing room. He says, hey, you two, come in here. I've got something to ask you. So they go in, but he leaves the door open so I can hear what's going on, luckily. He says, Peter Sassenbuth, what do you think of women? Do you think they're thick? Peston says, Dara says, nah. Peter says, all right, never mind. Look, do you think that women are like shit stirrers? Peston goes, Dara goes, So Piers says, oh, forget it. Would either of you like a go on my prize draw ass? Dara's straight in.
Oh,
yes, please. So Piers says, well, Dara said first, so he gets a go. So Piers takes off his dressing gown, right? He's naked underneath.
Yep.
He spreads the dressing gown and he stands on it.
Right.
And he says, I just need to something to trap the when I flush out the seepage, you know, and the oils that come off me. So he gets Peston and Dara to take a buttock each under it, right? They lift, and of course, as soon as they lift, all the seepage in that that's trapped just like pours down onto the dressing gown. So that was a good job for Elstree that he did that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's the thoughtful side of Piers, isn't it?
Could have incurred a fine, couldn't he?
Yeah. Then Dara starts kneading his hands into Pierce's ass, looking for his prize, greedy for his prize.
Yeah.
Where's my prize? I want my prize. Then he finds it. A pork chop. Lovely. So then the door was slammed. So I don't know what happened then, but...
Man.
I expect... we did the pointless after that, and I
like. Did you win, or are you not allowed to say it?
I'm not allowed to say, Andro, no, but...
Do they make you sign something?
Look out for it, and you'll see the smile on Dara's face.
Ah,
it's
right.
A pork chop.
Do you reckon
victory.
He's got the pork chop behind the podium that you still stand behind?
I reckon he's got it down the front of his pants.
Probably.
What's next, Andro?
Can I pitch some TV shows to you that I've come up with?
Of course,
obviously you're a bit of a mover and a shaker in the TV industry.
Yup.
Okay, first one, it's called The Nevermind Doctor.
Yeah.
Right, it's a doctor, proper doctor.
Yeah.
Not like showbiz one, and he goes into the homes of people who've got, like, strange diseases or mystery illnesses.
Yeah.
Chronic stuff.
Yeah.
Spends a bit of time with them, tries to diagnose what it is they've got. And then once he's worked it out, he sort of tries to cure them by just saying, oh, never mind.
No.
Or, that's a shame.
No,
or just like tutting.
No, that must be awful. The denouement there is always just going to disappoint Andy.
But it could work, though. It's like a mindfulness thing, Bob. Isn't it, if you think about it?
Nah.
Or homeopathy. On. It's like that, isn't it?
Well,
it's like bollocks, but it might work.
So The whole, you reckon that the whole film crew with the whole, like, all that surplus shit thrown at this disease in the front room will be like a mega placebo.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
But else is this not going to work, though? You've got to try these things, haven't
you? Well, if it doesn't work, the float died. No, I'm not. No. Move on. I'm not invested in that. I've
got another one, too. Russia with Russells.
Yeah.
All the comedians called Russell all go to Russia together.
Yeah.
Like in a larder, maybe.
Yeah.
The car, not the place where you'd store your food.
Russell Brand, Russell.
Not Crowe, the one. Russell. Peters?
Oh, fucking hell. Russell.
You know the one that dances about.
I know the one.
There's the dancer and there's the one.
There's two Russells.
The funny laugh.
Two Russells.
Russell Howard.
Russell Howard.
And Russell Kane.
Russell Kane.
And Russell Brand.
Russell Brand. Russell Kane told I always say, me and the wife. And we laugh.
And Russell. Who's the astrologer?
Russell Grant.
Russell Grant.
I had fish and chips with him once.
Did you?
Yeah, not telling you about it. Now, I was once drove a larder. When I was doing a series called Randall Notkirk Deceased.
Why have you turned this bit into being about you?
All right, fuck it. Fuck it. We'll see what complaints we get after that.
Russell's Hobbs.
Yeah.
All the Russells go around trying to find the best value Hobbs on the market. Two teams, gas and electric.
I like
so
that.
So you've got Russell Grant and Russell Kane doing gas.
Yeah.
And then you've got Russell Brand and... Fuck, what's it called?
Russell Howard.
Howard, doing electric.
Same Russells every week.
Yeah, well, there's only a finite number of Russells, isn't there?
Well, you need four Russells in the world.
Yeah, in the comedy world.
I quite like it, but it's a one-off Christmas special.
Did you stick a one-off?
They do both. Maybe in Russia,
they could do it once they get to Russia, couldn't they?
Fuck it. Just do it. They do it in their own homes and they do a Christmas lunch.
Okay. I've got one more.
Yeah?
Paul Hollywood puts his left leg up on a low wall.
Yes.
Different cities around the world.
Yeah.
I haven't got a name for it, but that's the concept.
Yeah, I want you to go away, right? I like it, Andrew.
Thank you.
But I want you to go away, and I want you to find a way that you can introduce a chimp into this scenario. Come back to me next
week. Probably on his shoulders, I think.
Well, I don't hear about it.
Cradling like a baby. You can see it, though, can't you? You can see the leg up on the lower wall, can't
you? Of course I can, yeah.
Uh-huh, it's powerful.
Stance, powerful. Stances. Barry Ormoner. I better get into the voice first, Andrew. It's what's... That's the way in, isn't it? That's the door to Barry. Did I tell you I bought some craft beer brewed using ground-up goose tits? It's an incredible tittle. £9 a bottle from Goosey Brews in Shoreditch. I really, really highly recommend that one, Andrew. I joined the dating site Plenty of Fish. Do you know Plenty of Fish?
No.
It's a slightly upmarket dating site. And you know what? Calling it Plenty of Fish, I must be quite a catch because I've had two pings already and I've only been on it 6 months, yeah? I tell you what, my bio was easy. I just put down homeowner, Fitbit owner, kitchen island owner, memory foam mattress owner, Nespresso machine owner, I love Formula One, medium height, 5'5", look great in my Gucci Converse, ideal broad Rachel Riley lookalike but with less brains. Yeah, two hits, two fucking pings. Hey, Andrew, I was at an English tourist board, Three Crown. Three Crown rated hotel this week. Beautiful restaurant, yeah. Had a burger there with the chips placed on top of each other like Jenga.
Ooh.
Never seen that before. I absolutely loved it. I absolutely loved it. Highly recommend this place. I'll give you its name.
Gangs of the EPL.
Yeah, so, Gangs of the EPL, Andy, I've still got a couple of stories left from the 40 village in Sardinia.
Oh, that must have been a very eventful trip that you went on.
Yeah, well, a lot of the teams have got players there, you know. One lunchtime, a few of the Liverpool squad were sat around a table, like at the VIP.
Liverpool, yeah.
So they were sat around a table at the flashy beachside restaurant, you know.
Yeah.
There were Sturridge, Milner, Leana and Henderson, yeah. They've all got their lovely makeup bags, you know, and they're finishing off their moisturising, putting the concealing on, the gels and all that. So I thought, I'll sit near them, but I'll hold my hat out in front of me so it's, you know, they can't see me.
Good idea.
So that was a good idea, wasn't it, Andy?
Very good idea.
So the waiter comes over. Good afternoon, señores. What do you like today? Today's special is snapper fish with truffle oil served with a roundabout of parsley mash with parmesan. Milner, right, he looks up from his compact mirror, he says, oh, meat and potato pie and chips and spaghetti hoops, please. Well, that's not very adventurous, is it? Henderson looks up, Geordie, isn't he?
Sort of, Sunderland.
Sunderland, I'll have chicken and mushroom pie and chips and beans, thanks, Joe. Sturridge, he's Birmingham, isn't he? Oh, much in me white, I'll just have fried egg and chips. So Liliana, right, says, it's fucking hell. He's a Somerset, isn't he? He says, do you have snow crab? Perhaps with a lemongrass and aubergine rosti and some asparagus foam. The waiter says, yes, senor, would you like some pan-fried shallots with that? Yes, I fucking would. In fact, I fucking insist on lob some periwinkles on it for texture, please, son. At that... Fucking hell. At that point, I spot Harry Kane sneaking into the restaurant toilets. That's unusual because he's got his own villa. He's in his dressing gown and carrying his wash bag. So I go in, see what's going on. Well, Harry's in the toilet having a wash and a shave over the sink. I'm a bit worried. I say, hello, Mr. Kane, are you okay? Yes, thank you. As if it's any of your business, you tiny, bald old man. Well, oh, fucking hell. I can see that, like... He can see I'm hurt by what he said, and he's been brought up really nice, Harry.
Yeah.
And he's a bit ashamed of himself, so he changes his tone a bit. Look, mate, I didn't mean to be rude and unkind. It's just I'm in a bit of a frizzle. You see, I've had a fight with my girlfriend, Katie, and she threw me out of our room. I had to sleep on the lounger by the pool last night, which is upsetting, and left me in the right fluffery buffery. I said, oh, dear. I mean, I'm being nosy, but I said, oh, dear, so what did you fight about? I said Game of Thrones was the best TV show ever, and she said Catfish was. I said it's two different genres, Katie, so you can't even compare them. She said, stop being clever, cunt, and smack me right on the end of my chin with an Italian weapon. And he shows me his chin, and it's got a massive... red and blue bruise on it. Honestly, in totality, it looks like a clown shoe.
God.
You know, all the different colours on it. I can't go out and about looking like this. What if the Peekagooners see me? Or Wade Rooney and his gang? Or worse still, the press, who would have a field day speculating at my expense? Just at that moment, Josie Marino comes out of the cubicle. Ooh. He's been in there. He says, careful, boys. I've just dropped a special one. Ha, ha, ha. I'm hilarious, innit? And he was, and that's my impression of Jose Mourinho.
It's very accurate.
Do you like it?
It was like he was in the room.
So then in when walks Adam Lallana, Liliana, whatever, with his makeup bag because he wants to use the big mirror,
right,
just for the finishing bits of his makeup. So I think shit. So I quickly pass Harry my cowboy hat and my beach towel to cover his face. He pretends he's just drying his face.
Right.
I say, all right, Mr. Liliana. That's amazing makeup selection you've got there. Yeah. You must be really proud. Yeah. You know, they love talking about themselves.
Of course they do. Why wouldn't they?
So Adam says, yep, a lot of hard work gone into that. You interested in makeup, son? I said, yeah, I really am, very much so. Right, well, let me tell you, I build my bag around Bobby Brown, Charlotte Tilbury and CoverGirl. I got pale skin, so it's mostly cool tones. I tend to liven my cheeks up with a peach blush. To make my cheek, but I've gone Scottish.
Yeah.
I am tractor. To make my, can you give us a
Somerset?
To make my cheekbones pop. He says, that's what he says. I say, oh, right, so interesting, Mr. Liliana. What about concealers? Oh, touche la clat is what I use. Brush applicator, it's perfect for me. I say, oh, wow, what shade do you use? Radiant silk. Nice matte finish and moisture resistant.
Lovely.
And he hands it to me to have a look at. I say, Adam, my wife fell into a pile of very hard Italian shoes yesterday.
and got like multiple heel marks on her face. You wouldn't let me lend this for 5 minutes, would you? Because she's really too embarrassed to leave the room. Of course, I'd be very interested to hear how she gets on with it. I'm just sat in the restaurant when she's done. And off he goes. So I quickly apply the concealer to Harry's chin, right? And he's good to go. I go back to my seat. Harry walks past. Henderson says, "All right, Harry, Yegnaughton has a summit." Harry turns to face him. He's worried, like, if they'll see it. He says, "No. Hello, Daniel. Hello, James. Hello, Adam. I trust you're having a pleasant vacation." They all say, "Yeah, cheers, Harry. Nice one." Harry walks away, a little smile on his face. He's got away with it. Adam says, "Blimey, Harry's skin looked amazing. I must ask him to talk me through his makeup regime. Beautiful matte sheen on his chin." Henderson says, "Aye, he looks like a model." Sturridge says, "He don't look that good." "I see shit." And Sturridge stomps off in a strop.
Ooh.
So, do you think that story was a bit like the Cher movie, Mask? You know what I mean, though?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, because of the big chin.
The big chin, and it was covered up with Lallana.
Yeah.
So, that's
very good.
That, Andrew.
It ended strangely. It's a slice of life, isn't
slice
it?
Slice of fucking
that's
EPL
exactly
life.
What it is.
"Ding dong, landlord here. I say, renter, have you got a torch I can borrow? I want to shine it into your kids' faces so I can see the despair in full focus." "Ding dong, landlord here. Renter, I'm here to give you notice to quit. Notice to quit smoking, drinking and laughing, because I'm putting the rent up 20% to cover my losses at the casino." "Ding dong, landlord here. I was going to take these old tins of palm hearts and these bread sauce sachets to the food bank. Thought I'd save myself a journey and bring them straight round to you."
That's that fella, Andrew.
That's him, and that's the end of this episode
you're
of Athletico Mince.
You're going to end it there?
Yeah.
Well, I'll see you around, Andy. I must rush.
All right. You've got something better to do than this.
Yes, I've got to go to the toilet.
Bye, Bob.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.